text was sung by the choir as our Detroit. Love on my heart, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Not God so loved the world, but God loved the world in this world, that he gave his only begotten Son to us. The story before us this week in John's Gospel, read through the lens of our Lent series, sent me running to St. Augustine and his reflections on his murdered love. Augustine taught that we are most fundamentally shaped not by what we believe or what we think or even what we do, but by what we love. Living a just and holy life, he wrote in 426 AD, requires one to be capable of loving things in the right order. Requires not loving what is not to be loved, or not failing to love what is to be loved, or not having a greater love for what should be loved less. Dante had Augustine's disordered loves in mind when 900 years later he wrote about the seven deadly sins in Purgatorio. The proud, envious, and wrathful were guilty of misdirected love. The slothful were guilty of deficient love. And the avaricious, gluttonous, and lustful were guilty of excessive love. More recently, in the Road to Character, David Brooks cites Augustine in his own chapter on disordered love. I was bound, Augustine writes, not by an iron imposed by anyone else, but the iron of my own choice. The enemy had a grip on my will and so made a chain for me to hold me prisoner. The consequence of a distorted will, Augustine goes on, is passion. By servitude to passion, habit is formed, and habit to which there is not resistance becomes necessity. Let me say that again. It seems terribly profound to me. By servitude to passion, habit is formed, and habit to which there is not resistance becomes necessity. One of these links connected to one another, a harsh bondage held me under constraint. Rick's comments that Augustine was divided against himself. Part of him saw the shallow pleasures of the world. Part of him disapproved of these desires. His desires were out of order with his other faculties. He can imagine a purer way of living, but can't get there. He was restless. What is addiction, I thought? A disordered love. A harsh bondage that holds a person under constraint. A habit formed that without resistance becomes necessity. included in the category of things. And when our thoughts worry God, we are restless, running from one thing to another thing, always asking of things what they were never made to deliver. In our question, we imagine a purer way of living that cannot get there. The story of Jesus and Michael, a story Judas, Cartwright says. Discipleship is not an end in itself, but a means to some other end. Judas has a greater love for that which should be loved less. Were it not for John's paragraphic comments about Judas, we might say that it was his greater love of a cause, a political ideology, an ethical ideal that resulted in his lesser love of Jesus. But John wants us to know that the particular disordered love of Judas was his excessive love of money, his avarice. In either case, God knows that we are a nation of people who love our causes and love our money more than we love God. A reality that should give us all pause before the mixture of Jesus' liberal politics and his conservative, self-interested economics that lead him to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Disordered love. Now consider Mary, the sister Luke also places at Jesus' feet. From the self-justifying perspective of our own disordered love, we are her critics. Assuming Mary is simply trying to buy Jesus' love with her extravagant waste of precious perfume, we jealously judge her. In every version of this story, Jesus calls off the woman's critics and commends the extravagance of her love, the extravagance her love dares. What she did was utterly prodigal, a wholly generous and selfless and at the same time an absolutely humble action that honors Jesus and the body in anticipation. Could not quite help congratulating herself for what she had done and for what Jesus said. This ordered love. Which leaves us finally to consider Jesus. 6 days after the supper in Bethany, where he was a guest, he would host his last supper in Jerusalem. Not Mary, but Jesus now kneels at the disciples' feet to wash them. Then he declares that the one to whom he gives the piece of bread dipped in wine will betray him. Giving the bread to Judas, he says, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Through the lens of the disciples' disordered love, some thought, because Judas had the common curse, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival. Or saying that he should give something to the poor. But seen through the lens of God's redeeming love, at this table, God in Christ was assuming our disordered loves as his own. In fact, precisely while those closest to him were loving every other thing in the world but him with deathly consequences, John says that he loved his own who were in the world to the end, utterly, completely, finally. This morning we will take this bread which he gives us, dip it in the cup, and go out to betray him by loving what is not to be loved, or by failing to love what is to be loved, or by having a greater love for what should be loved.